Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Come on, turn to somebody and say, God is good. God is good. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for each thing that you're doing in our life, for the incredible journey that you have us on, how you've been faithful throughout the ages, God, how you've been faithful, God, throughout our lives. We thank you, God, that you're going to speak to us today. You know exactly where we are on our journey. You know exactly where we are in our faith walk. And so thank you, God, that you would, God, illuminate our pathway. Show us, Father, things that we need to know, God, that we'll be successful in the journey that you've given us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I have so much enjoyed this series, Focus. Somebody, just turn to somebody and say, my focus. It's so important that we have our focus right, because there's so many things in this life that can grab our focus, that can grab our attention. There's emails, there's texts, there's phone calls, there's apps, there's notifications, all vying for your attention and your focus. But is your focus where it needs to be? When we focus on something, it has our attention, it has our time, it has our thoughts, it may even have our respect or reverence. We're emotionally invested in the things that we focus most on. So what is your focus on today? Today, this month is really a month that we kind of take a look at refocusing. And so we've been talking to that, and we've been talking about what should I focus, and is my focus the way it should be on God? Matthew 22:37. I want to start right here where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. Let me read that again for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You see, when we focus and we honor something or someone in our lives, we could probably use as another word to describe that, worship, right? When we really focus all of our attention and our mind and our emotions and our respect, another word we could use is focus. And the truth is, a lot of times we focus on things that we shouldn't focus on, and we don't focus on things that we should focus on enough. And we talked about last week how in Exodus 20, verse 3, it said, God told us, you should have no other gods before me, or you should have no other priorities higher than me. And, you know, when we think about that, God being the center, what does that look like? What does it really mean to focus on God to that extent? What does it really mean to worship? So I want to talk about that, because we sing a lot about that. We talk a lot about that. But what does that mean? What does it mean to worship? What does it mean to focus to that level? Have you ever had a song that you sang, but it really didn't resonate with you, and so they were just kind of empty words? You liked the music, but you sang the song, but you really didn't agree with the song, so it's just words. Anybody ever been there? We've all done it, right? You've all sung a song that you didn't completely wholeheartedly believe in. But then what about the song that you sang to the top of your lungs and you 100% believed in that, what that song was saying? That was something that embodied how you felt either about life or about God or about something, but you completely agreed with that statement in that song. And so you sang it out, and it really became more than a song. It was a statement about your beliefs. It was a statement about what you believed about yourself. And so I want to tell you that worship is, it isn't just a song. Worship is more than a song. A great song can be a launching point, but it can't be confined to just a beautiful song. Worship is something more. You know, because if we thought that worship was just a song, we could have the assumption that I could come to church, or I could be in my car, and I could lift up my hands, and I could sing a few verses, and my job was done. Right? If I really believe that worship is just music, then If I sing, if I clap my hands, and maybe if I dance a little bit, I've done my part. Now, God, it's your turn to do your part. But actually, a great worship song is just a launching point for something much greater. Worship is more than a song. Yes, there's the part, Psalm 100, verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs, right? There's that aspect about coming together in corporate praise that I would never diminish or take away, and we do it, and it's awesome, it's powerful, there's power in that. But that's not all. It can't be limited, it can't be confined to just a musical expression of your faith. That's just a launching point. So yes, sing, but there's more. Look at somebody say, there's more. Because worship is a posture. Worship is a posture. It's when we lift up our hands. Yes, it's when we clap our hands. It's when we feel free enough to dance. But it's not just that. It's also the posture of your heart. It's not just the posture of your hands. It's not just the posture of your body. It's not just the posture in the natural. It is the posture of your heart. Now, I was thinking, you know, if I'm going to run a race, I have to get in the right posture, right? I'm getting in the right posture if I want to run a race. What's the right posture for a race? Well, I'm going to get in the blocks, right? How to take off. So I'm in the posture for a race. If I want to drive a car, what do I need to do? I need to be in the driver's seat. I'm in a different posture. If I want to win Pastor Corinne's affections, I have to be in the right. Come on, men. You have to be in the right. You have to say the right thing. You have to be in the right place. You have to be in the right posture. To be able to. Come on, ladies. A man has to be in the right posture to win your attention. We have to be in the right posture, not just with our physical, our hands, our clapping, our dance before the Lord, but it's our heart. Where is the posture of our heart? And that's so important because we have to sometimes change our posture. How many times in your faith walk have you, over time, you changed postures, but you didn't really realize it? The posture of your heart, you got it busy, some things got, a couple new milestones happened in your life, and all of a sudden your posture has changed, and maybe you didn't even realize it. Your focus was different, your posture was different, and it affected your relationship with God. I'm not saying that to condemn you, I'm saying that to bring an awareness that sometimes it happens. How many people you caught yourself slumping, right? You caught yourself rolling your shoulders, and you didn't set out to have rolling your shoulders or to be slumping, but it happened and your posture had changed. You thought you were still sitting and sitting up straight and you were in this particular posture, but you found yourself in a different posture. So this month is also about checking your posture. If your focus is right and you sustain the right focus, then your posture will change. If your focus is off long enough, then your posture will change, your posture towards God. I like to watch people's worship. You know, on the outside, it doesn't tell you everything, but it does tell you something about where somebody's at, where their posture and their focus in the season, you know. And it's not all about physicality. You can look at somebody's face and see kind of what type of moment or expression that they're having with God. What is your posture? What is your posture? Sometimes when I look around, I see somebody stone-faced. I say, man, it's amazing sometimes how we can drift. We can drift. And then all of a sudden, we don't realize we're slumping. We don't realize that our shoulders are turned. We don't realize we're in a different posture. Maybe we're not on the total other side of the stage, but we thought we were sitting here, and we're really over here. Look at somebody and say, change your posture. When the heart is right, everything else will be right. The more we posture our heart towards God, the more every other posture will follow. You want other things to line up in your life. You want to have the success that God would have for you and the blessings that God would have for you. Make sure your heart is postured towards God. You see, I can never receive from his hand before I have received from his heart. My heart has to be in the right place. He's a rewarder of what? Those that diligently seek him. If you're diligently seeking, it's because it's a heart condition. It's a posture that you have. And so when I seek first the kingdom of God because my heart's in the right place, then all these things are added. See, the problem is we get concerned about the things. Don't get the things in your heart. Get God in your heart. Let the posture of your heart, let the focus of your heart, let the focus of your life be God, and all these things will follow. What about in ministry? Sometimes we chase the miracles and we chase the signs and wonders instead of the God that performs the signs and wonders. Sometimes we're chasing the next move instead of having the right relationship with God. You see, I believe when you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things, the natural things, the supernatural things, the blessing things, the relational things are added to us. But it starts with the posture of our heart. And then we kind of realize that the next movement is that worship is a lifestyle. When posture is sustained for a season, then it begins to become part of who you are. It's now your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice. I've sat here, right? And now I've sat here long enough that it has become my lifestyle to be seated here. It's my lifestyle. If I sit here long enough, people are going to start to come in the church and say, oh, that's the guy that sits in the chair on the stage. That's the guy. And now my life is known by my posture. My posture has become my lifestyle. Because I've sustained the posture, my focus became a posture. My posture became a lifestyle. When our focus is sustained, it not only becomes our posture, it eventually becomes our lifestyle. When we truly worship, it's a lifestyle. When we truly focus, it's a lifestyle. You think about NBA players that when they started off, their focus was basketball. Their focus was basketball as a little kid, right? Basketball, 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 until it became their posture. I remember an interview with Kobe Bryant, and he said when he went to school, he saw everything through the lens of basketball. How could it improve his strategy, his technique, his philosophy on basketball? And when that focus is sustained, it becomes a posture. And when that posture is sustained, it becomes a lifestyle, right? In the NBA, your life is full of drills and practices and meetings about basketball and, you know, strategies about basketball and basketball games and basketball tournaments and basketball championships, right? By the way, go Heat. We're doing good this season. I don't know if that has anything to do with the message, but it felt right. It felt right. When we sustain focus, it becomes posture. When we sustain posture, it becomes a lifestyle. When I focus on him, it doesn't take much for me to be thinking about him, right? If God is my lifestyle, get this, if worship is my lifestyle, worshiping God is my lifestyle, it doesn't take much for me to talk about God. The conversation easily goes that way. It doesn't take much to push me in that direction because I don't need much of a push because that's already the rhythm of my life. And funny as it seems, those that are true worshipers, you find yourself singing, and you didn't even intend on singing because it was just an overflow of your lifestyle. That happens a lot at our house. Of course, everything is a song. The song's about God. There's songs about breakfast. There's songs about mommy. Ariella has written a new song about mommy. It's just mommy over the melody of different songs that she hears on TV. Worship is, it's an overflow. So if if God has become your focus, and that's sustained, and it's your posture, and it's your lifestyle, it doesn't take much for that overflow to spill off on a conversation, on any and every area of your life. When we focus on God, He is the center. We take on a posture. That posture is sustained. It becomes a lifestyle. This is how it's supposed to be when we come to Christ. He is meant to become the center. He becomes the focus, and everything else revolves around the knowledge and the teaching of Christ. We look at first century believers, it's like they stepped away from all these things. They stepped away from culture. They stepped away from their old habits. They stepped away from their old life. Some of them even had to disconnect from relationships. They had to suffer persecution, all because they said, you know what? Jesus is going to be the center. He's going to be my focus. He's going to be my posture. He's going to be my lifestyle. I'm all right with being labeled a Christian because that is who I am now. That's my life. My life is in Him. And so He's meant to be the center. Everywhere we go, everything we do is seen through the lens of who Jesus is to us. And that decision informs us about everything. I was serving my time one time on jury duty, and you get interesting questions when you put on that little thing that says occupation. You say pastor. My life is so fun. Because I get such a range. That word brings so many emotions to mind. And so in the courtroom, this is what it looked like. Because I don't run away from jury duty. I play it pretty much straight. I just want to see what other people's reactions are. So the attorney, they're questioning all the people that are, you might be a juror, you might not be a juror. So they come to me and they say, Mr. Swilly, I see that you're a pastor. This is in the courtroom in front of the judge, in front of all the other jurors. I'm like, yes. Said, do you think that your religious beliefs would sway your decision in this case? And I said, well, I would hope my religious beliefs inform my decisions about every area of my life. And so it should be with us as believers that we see through the lens of Christ, because my focus is on Christ. My posture is on Christ. Now, my lifestyle is a lifestyle of Christ. So the lens that I see through, the decisions that I make, there's no decision that I make that doesn't go through that lens. I think a lot of times that's what, modern Christians sometimes struggle with. Is this, well, this stuff goes through the lens of Christ, and this is just regular stuff. No. That's everything revolves around Him. Everything revolves around Him now. My focus is Him. I see everything. I see my marriage, how to be a better husband, through the lens of Christ. He said, love your wife like I love the church. So I'm learning from Christ how to be a better husband. Right? I'm learning from Christ how to be a better father. So the Bible shows us what a perfect father looks like. If you earthly parents know how to do good things, imagine how much your heavenly Father in heaven knows how to give good gifts. So I see fatherhood. I see parenting through the lens of Christ. I see how to treat others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do unto others as you would want it done to you. Forgive 7 times 70. I see my relationship with others through the lens of Christ. Now I'm not saying, I forgave you 2-3 times. That's all right, because I'm looking through my own lens of experience. No, I'm looking through the lens of Christ. And worship is essential. Worshiping God is not just a good idea. It's not just, hey, if you get around to it, this can be a bonus, a real bonus for your life. It's a problem a lot of times with Christians is, and not all Christians, just some Christians, or we start to feel like, Christ is like an awesome add-on to our life. But He's not. He's the focus. He's the center. He's the posture. He's the lifestyle. He's the lens that I look through. My worship, which is bigger than a song, by the way, is essential for my life. Not just my life on Sunday. It's essential. Worship is essential for my life. It's imperative. We were designed by God for God, so it's essential to have God in every area and aspect of our life. We were meant for God to permeate every area. You don't think so? Consider the scripture, "Be holy as I am holy." Do you know what holy means? It means set apart. No, not something that's holy. Now it can't be used for regular stuff anymore. Only can be used for God's stuff. Right? When they had all the incense burners and they went to the tabernacle, even though some of the people that had the incense burners and they were kind of questioning Moses, even though they were doing the wrong thing, and God moved in front of the tabernacle and some people got dealt with and addressed, but God said, collect all those incense burners. Now they're all holy. You mean even the ones in the people's hands that were doing the wrong thing? Yep, all of them. Once God puts his hand on you, your whole life is holy. Once God puts his hand on you and you say, God, I want to belong to you. I want to be a part of your family. I want to be a child of God. Now, boom, your whole life is holy. Not just the pastor, every person that says yes to Christ, you're holy. You are a priest of your own life. When you go to work, you are the priest of that situation. When you go home, you are the priest of that situation. Every circle of influence that you step into, you are a priest in that situation. We are a kingdom of kings and priests. So I understand now, I'm holy, my life is holy. So I have to view myself and everything in it through the lens of Christ. That's how my focus looks. That's my definition of worship. It's so much broader than just this. I love this. I do. I love it. Something I've loved since I was real little. But that's not all my worship is. My worship can't be limited to just that. My worship is my life. It's my whole life. When I treat my wife right, that's worship. That's the honor of God. Because I'm honoring the gift that God brought into my life. When I'm honoring good friends or I'm honoring my children, I'm training my children up the right way, that's worship to God. Because I'm honoring my function in God. When I go and I do what God has gifted me to do on my job, for me, my job is here. But when you go to your work, and you're doing what God has gifted you to do with the door that God opened for you to have, the job that God opened the door for you to have, it's holy. Because you're there and God opened the door for you to be there. And so I understand worship is so much bigger than a song. Worship is my life. So when we say at Hope United, we are... Yes, we're one family in faith. Okay, just put that to the side for a second. Okay, we've established that, okay? We're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. When we say worship, we're not saying, hey, we're creating this great musical experience. Yes, that's part of it. But worship is your life. I worship God when my feet hit the ground in the morning. And I don't even have to be singing to worship God. When I hit the ground in the morning and I say, God, thank you, that's my worship. When I serve my family in the morning, that's worship. Because I'm honoring what God gave me in my life. And I want to tell you this, all the couples and married couples and those that will be married soon, I want to tell you this. Don't ever apologize for celebrating what God brought into your life. I was sitting with a couple, and they weren't sure, oh, should we, we're going to do renewing of the vows, and should we do this or should we do that? And I said, a little while back ago, God addressed me because I was thinking about getting an anniversary ring for myself and my wife. And I was wondering, is this, because I'm a really frugal type of person, right? And so I'm like, is this more money than I should be spending? And God stopped me right there. And he says, I want you to celebrate what I celebrate. And so to me, the buying of that new anniversary ring for my wife was a worship unto God. Because I'm celebrating what God is celebrating. I'm honoring what God is honoring. And when God does something in your life, it's okay to memorialize it. Say, this is where God did this. We said 10 years ago, this is where God did this. 17 years for us now, by the way. But that was 10 years. That was at the 10-year point. Said, this is what God did. Always look to the Bible. The people of God would always, man, God did this. God brought us across the Jordan River. Now take these stones and let's memorialize this. Don't be ashamed to celebrate what God is celebrating. The focus on God is essential. The worship in our life of God is essential. When we don't have worship, we're not actively worshiping, we're actually dying. It is the worship, the interaction, the involvement of God in our life that sustains life. It is the breath of God that brought mankind to life. And it is the breath of God that sustains man. What do you think would happen to the universe without God? It would die. What do you think happens to your life without God? Begins to deteriorate. You may not notice it at first. We were designed by God in His image for His pleasure. Worship and the knowledge and the relationship of God is meant to be the center of our lives. That's my focus. That's my posture. That's my lifestyle as a believer, understanding and learning how to look through the lens of Christ in every area of my life. Matthew 4:4 says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, it's my interactions with God that brings me life. Whether I'm reading the Bible or I'm saying a prayer. And by the way, your prayer doesn't have to be 3 hours to count. I mean, if it is, awesome. Maybe that's what God is doing in your life. Don't let someone else's prayer time shame you. Get your own prayer life. And celebrate what God is doing in your life. If it's 5 minutes every day, God bless you. If it's 3 minutes, at least you're talking to God. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. If you're just reading one verse a day, good for you. Good for you. God can grow you from any place. It started small. For all of us, the important thing is the understanding God, my interactions with God sustains me. The more conversations, the more interactions that I have with God, the more I come alive. And the less interactions and the more I skip or forget or drift, guess what? There's something, some parts of me that are beginning to deteriorate. I gotta come back to that place of worship. I gotta come back to that place of focus. I've gotta come back to that place of a posture before God. The words of God, the Spirit of God, sustain us. The more we focus on that, the more we focus on Him, we worship. When we worship, we come alive. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I thank you, Lord, for who you are to us. And God, for giving us a month, giving us a season where we kind of readjust our focus. Maybe some people, you're in the room, you're like, well, my focus really isn't that off. Good for you. Just tweak it up. Maybe you realize while we're talking, man, my focus is kind of off. I don't think that I'm postured the way that I need to be. God wants to get with you today. God wants to bring you into a posture of relationship with Him. It's not about judgment, it's about relationship. It's not about judgment, it's about relationship. For God so loved you, He sent Jesus so He could restore relationship with His sons and daughters. I want to encourage you today to make Jesus the focus of everything. See everything through the lens of Christ. See everything in your life through the lens of Christ. He is the way. He's the truth. He is the life. And everything else outside of Him eventually falls apart. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, my life isn't where it needs to be with Jesus. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. Amen. It's something so powerful when we say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Whether it's the first time or the second time or wherever God has for you. For those that slipped up your hands, I want to pray with you today. You can say this prayer. We'll all say it in agreement. Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for me, for dying on the cross, for giving me a second chance. I accept your free gift of salvation, of relationship. Jesus, forgive me for all the areas I went wrong, all my sins, all my shortcomings. Jesus, I want to see life through your lens. Help me do that. Help me be like you. Help me succeed in life by putting you in the center. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.